This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Let us consider the homely basket. Time was, handmade baskets were commonplace, so common and utilitarian that they weren't really seen as cultural artifacts. They were just what you used to hold oysters or berries or vegetables. But that has changed. Now Maryland is home to the Center for Research in Basketry, which aims to keep the art of basketry alive in the Mid-Atlantic. Kathy Beauchesne, a retired Johns Hopkins administrator, is president and CEO of the center. She also just started a new basket-making supply shop, Charm City Baskets. Proceeds will support the center. And Kathy Beauchesne joins me in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sheila. Thank you for having me.
What drew you to basket making?
I would say the first thing that drew me to basket making was after my grandfather passed away, and I found an old oak basket on the basement steps. And it was a very beautiful basket. It was an apple basket. And so I picked it up and took it home. And I'd always loved baskets, but it wasn't until later on that I found a shop in Dickeyville where they taught basket making, and they also provided supplies and they brought in other teachers. And so I was very excited to be able to take that course. And once I took the first class there, I was really hooked on making baskets. And
what hooked you?
I think it was the weaving, and it's kind of an in and out kind of thing. I am a social worker, right? And so my job requires a lot of emotional energy. And so the actual act of creating something and of kind of weaving under and over, in and out, and creating an artistic piece using this particular kind of material was really what attracted me to it, I think.
Yeah, I should tell listeners that that apple basket
right.
from your grandfather's house is sitting between us here.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Here
it is.
In the studio, and it is beautiful. So I look at a basket like that, and about how long would it take someone who knows what she's doing to make that?
It would take a while, because particularly for the Day Basket Factory.
The Day Basket Factory is an historic factory,
yes,
in
right.
Northeast Maryland.
Right, exactly.
Since just after the Civil War. Right?
Right, exactly. They cut their own oak, all right? They prepare all this oak to weave. And so it takes a while. So first of all, they have to get the right tree, and the tree has to be an 8-foot section, about 8 inches in diameter, and the grain of the tree has to be straight. And so many times when you're making an oak basket like this at the Day Basket Factory, you may go through several trees before you find the right tree. And so the rest of it goes in the fireplace or, is
whatever other
yeah, whatever
other,
use.
What, right? What might be useful.
Right.
But the weaving part.
Uh-huh. And so the weaving part is also cut. And it probably takes, it would take me like about to make a basket of this size, which is a relatively small rectangular kind of basket, it would probably take about a half a day.
On 88.1, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Kathy Beauchesne. She's president and CEO of the Center for Research in Basketry in Maryland. We're talking about the art of basket making. In simplest terms, have the kinds of baskets made in Maryland changed over time?
Yes, they have. I think they have. These baskets that I brought, the eel pot is no longer made.
What is an eel pot? It doesn't sound like a basket.
It is. We have one here. And an eel pot is really a trap. It's just like a crab pot. And the purpose of an eel pot is to catch eels. And so they used to be made out of oak. And the watermen, when they made them themselves, they would use them in the spring, in the summer, in the fall. And then in the wintertime, they would repair them if they were broken. And so they have a funnel at one end and they have a plug at the other end, and the eels, they're baited and the eels swim in and then they're caught. And then today what happens is that the eel pots are made out of wire, and the eel pot industry is just huge, so that they're brought to the shore, kept live, and then a distributor comes every week and flies them across the country. And across the world. It's a global industry now.
It's On your website, basketresearch.org, you write, quote, "In Maryland, we are losing our basket-making traditions and culture." Explain that.
Okay. I believe we're in a race to save this craft in Maryland. These baskets are no longer made. The traditions are lost. The basket makers have passed away. And I just think that, you know, that we need to find as many baskets as we can in Maryland. I belong to a basket guild in North Carolina, and there they have 23 basketry guilds in the state. In Maryland, we only have three. And it has been thought that the basketry in Maryland and in the mid-Atlantic states has was lost, just simply lost, because of the conflicts between the colonists and because the climate was not conducive to saving baskets that are made out of natural materials. So the heat and the humidity and the water, you know, just are very difficult. You know, it's very difficult to preserve baskets. And so anyway, so the baskets are in the museums, and but I think they are in people's homes, and people have treasured them for years. And so those are the ones that we're trying to find in this project, as well as the ones in museums.
And so tell me if that's true, that the tradition is kind of shrinking. Is there really a market for the kind of shop that you've just opened, a supply shop for basket makers?
The basket making has had a resurgence in the last 30 years among contemporaries of mine and the younger generations. And so I teach classes, so I'm expecting that we will train a new generation of basket makers here in Baltimore. And I think that's very important because the shop where I learned originally closed in the 1980s, and an entire generation of basket makers, you know, was not trained here in Maryland. And so we're trying to also, you know, gather together the names and the locations of all the basket makers in Maryland. And I'm guessing there's probably maybe 200 total. And so we're trying to pull them all together so that we can, you know, form an association and really promote basket making, because we have, you know, we have waterman traditions, we have fishing traditions, we have Western Maryland traditions, which are kind of like West Virginia, Appalachian style traditions. We're affected by different cultures, and every single culture made baskets. So every single culture that came through or is in Maryland makes baskets of some sort. And so it's really important for us to kind of identify all of those baskets that are here now and then to promote new basket making in our state.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kathy Beauchesne is president and CEO of the Center for Research in Basketry, and she's just opened a basket-making supply shop, Charm City Baskets, in Baltimore's Highland Town. It's open afternoons, Thursdays through Saturdays. There's an exhibit of baskets from the Day Basket Company in Northeast that's up at Charm City Baskets through February. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. More of this interview there, too. Special thanks to Elizabeth Sherwood, who produced this segment. I'm Sheila Cast. This is 88.1. Maryland Morning is an original production
of your public radio,
WYPR,
in Baltimore.
The show is produced by Matt Purdy.
We have production help from
Connor Graham,
Payam Agagasam,
and Elizabeth Sherwood.
Nathan Sterner directs and engineers.
On this day in Maryland history, we checked our regular sources and couldn't find any memorable achievement. Dear lovers of history, if you know something we missed, go to our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning, and send us a message. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you've been listening. Back with you on Wednesday.